Moody's Analytics will host its second annual Ag Day virtual conference dedicated to the discussion of agriculture. Ag lending professionals come together for 2 days of peer sharing, best practice concepts, and critical insight into agriculture's road ahead. Learn more at moodysanalytics.com/Moody's Ag Day 2021.
All right, Jenny Lichty, we're going to go for a ride this morning on the grounds. You're used to being on the grounds at peak times, huge crowds, so this whole morning thing, bear with me, there's nobody on the roads, okay?
I like it.
All right, we're going to go for a ride today. You have been involved with the FFA Usher program for a number of years. I think it's 15. How did you get started?
I actually came down as an usher, so 2003. I got selected to serve as a grandstand usher, so my first Iowa State Fair was a full fair, coming in on Tuesday before fair starts and staying through that final concert. Actually, I think I stayed through Monday and left Monday morning.
And you are a Hudson, Iowa native?
Yes.
So were you involved? When did you get involved with FFA?
I joined my freshman year. One of my friends is like, hey, take an ag class with me so I'm not by myself. And I tried quitting my sophomore year, and my ag teacher knew better, and he wouldn't let me, so...
Well, who's that? Let's name the ag teacher.
My ag teacher is Mr. Dennis Deppy. He's still at Hudson. Yeah, so he didn't let me quit, and we turned around and ended up winning state, the Iowa FFA Ag Communications CDE, and then turned around that fall and won the national contest, so that's probably what hooked me, and I guess my first year ushering would have been after my junior year of high school.
So what's the home life like in Hudson? Were you a city kid that was involved with FFA or a country kid that was there?
I was a country kid. I grew up on a row farm east of Hudson, south of Waterloo.
So what's on the crop? You said row?
Yep, row crop, corn and soybeans. And then my SAE project, Supervised Agriculture Experience project, was a sweet corn entrepreneurship. So I raised and sold sweet corn.
What made you want to keep doing FFA? Because you ended up going to college. Did you go to Iowa State?
Yep.
So you went to Iowa State. Ag teacher, was that always in your mind?
No. I started at UNI as an athletic training major. And then with the whole ag communications event, I switched to public relations. But then it was mentoring FFA members from the chapter, being, 15 minutes from Hudson my freshman year, that I switched mid-sophomore year and went down to Iowa State and said, I'm going to be an ag teacher.
And you did that for a number of years.
Yep.
And then what made you say it was time to do something else?
I spent 2 years up in Estherville as an ag teacher, worked with the Estherville FFA chapter, then came back to Iowa State and did my master's, finished up my master's, and was kind of in the right place at the right time and got to start the Ballard FFA chapter in 2014, and that's a crazy story in itself, because I finished my master's, I'm in the area, I'm coaching volleyball in Des Moines, and so I get a phone call in the middle of September saying, hey, call this principal, and I called the principal on a Thursday, I went in on Monday, and that following Tuesday, so a week later, I had my first ag class. It was a Tuesday of homecoming week. Most of the class showed up in matching camo outfits. it was interesting, but we hit the ground running, and the chapter became very successful, was there for 5 years, and then made the switch to that public relations marketing, ag marketing.
As we like to call it, the private sector?
Yes.
The private sector.
Yes.
All right, so as we're driving around the fair here on this morning, it is not many people here, so you can experience anything you want. So if you could have me drive anywhere, where would you have me drive right now?
I actually, this time, or maybe a little bit earlier, is actually my favorite place to run. I like to run the Iowa State Fairgrounds about 7:30 in the morning. Just seeing everything open up, you still have the state fair, the smells, the sights. Running the fairgrounds is my favorite route to take. So I don't know that I would tell you to drive.
You would just, so are you even used to being in a golf cart ever?
Yes, yeah.
Okay.
I got superintendent privileges.
Do you find navigating the crowds fun or taxing when you're on the cart?
In 11 years as superintendent, I know how to navigate them. There's definitely some tips and tricks and routes that you avoid or you go to get to where you need to go. if you need to go there fast.
I was here on Saturday, and it was, I would not take the golf cart down Grand Avenue.
Oh, no.
You just learn that there's fringes around.
Yep.
And I'm guessing it's kind of the same way when you're trying to walk. You have to be a certain spot. I told some kids recently, my favorite thing at the fair is figuring out where the best shortcut is.
Oh, yeah. And we have program distributors with the Usher program that take programs to the gates. So we tell them the shortcuts, and a lot of times it's out the fairgrounds, so
yeah,
out gate 4, gate 16, and then cut back through 13. Our trick to getting down to the grandstand at night, though, is to stay pretty tight behind our group of grandstand ushers. And so if you come down sometime between, we're usually down here 5:36, you'll see our sea of yellow marching down the grand concourse. And if you can keep your golf cart pretty tight to them, you don't have issues. But you're also walking or driving as fast as they're walking.
They're blockers. They're wedge.
Are. Yep.
Yeah. Do you put the biggest or ugliest one up front?
No.
I'm sorry. Prettiest one up front.
No, my group leaders usually lead that pack.
2003, you're a high school junior. You walk into here as an usher. Were you nervous?
Yes. I was the only one from a chapter here as an usher. And I guess that's probably why I like the program, or coming back to the program, is that we get members from 50 to 60 chapters, and a lot of them are singletons. There's a handful that already know people coming to the fair, but yeah, I was here by myself.
Well, how did you even get selected to be here?
It's an application process. So every kid that applies, at the time it was written application, paper and pen. I updated that in like 2012, 13. I think it might've been actually 13. But yeah, so as superintendent, we go through and we select kids, trying to get that male-female ratio, returners versus new kids, that wide variety of chapters, to come up with a set list of ushers.
And so are you trying to get a mix of, does geography matter, or is it more of an experience? Okay, I hit a spot.
There's just so many different things that go into it, you know, how many applications you get per year. So not only now do we do the electronic application, but there's also what we call a signature page, so that way I know I have parental permission, the advisors in on it, the school has knowledge that the students applied for it, because at the time, or before whatever year it was that the rule put in place, like some kids were missing school, and
right,
it was just making that aware. So, you know, there's I try to get most of my returners are a shoo-in, and a lot of them we evaluate each year, who do we want to come back, because this has truly, in the 11 years that I've been in charge, has truly become a student-run program. I meet with my group leaders, I pick my group leaders, we pair them up, and everything I run through them, and so we have that chain built in, that if a member has a problem, they go to their group leader. If their group leader can't solve it, they go to the head usher. And then if the head usher can't solve it, then they come to me and the superintendents. So there's a lot of little things.
And you're working on a transition for yourself. I mean, this is your last year, right? We're not making news here.
Tentatively.
Okay.
Yeah.
So a little bit of news made.
Yep.
But what is it? Okay. I want to start with that sea of yellow that you mentioned.
Mm-hmm.
What is it like to walk in that group and know you're on a mission and you're headed here?
Every night's an experience, but that experience goes beyond the grandstand. So they're not just walking down here to work the grandstand. They're walking down with their new friends. And I've seen a lot of friendships happen. I mean, I ran into, or I met up with one of the girls that was an usher when I was an usher yesterday. So the friendships that you build here they don't end with the fair, and it's always fun for those kids to go to other FFA events and see those friends that they made at the fair. But coming down as a group, like, it looks a little bit intimidating, and then once you get them spread out in here, they do a heck of a job, so much so that I've had people from Iowa State say, how do you train your ushers? And I'm like, I don't know. And Russ, the head of security, loves having my ushers come back and work for him as grandstand security, because they're familiar with it.
It is a significant year for ushers in the grandstand. I believe this is the 70th year you've had them. What do you know about 70 years ago to today, and how what the responsibilities of the usher is?
Yep. Well, so 1950 would have been the first year, and the only reason I remember that is because my first usher shirt says serving grandstand guests since 1950. So last year's technically should have been.
Yeah.
But so at the time, FFA membership was boys only. So it was very heavily, I mean, it was all boys. Their only duties were in the grandstand. And then slowly we've accumulated different tasks.
And what are some of those tasks?
So now our ushers are on the gates. We staff the main gates from 8 to 2, handing out programs. So we are one of the first people that fairgoers may see, and some of the last that they may see when they leave the grandstand at night. We help with FFA shows. So a lot of our duties are those first 3 days of fair, and it's crazy. We're helping lay the livestock pavilion floor, and we take that out. So interlocking hexaplates.
It's a big arena.
It is.
And they're stacked up. Like, I don't know, you can see, you know, just think of pallet high.
Yep.
And there's probably 30 of them.
I was going to say, they're probably the size, they go up probably almost to what the pop receptacles here are.
And that's what they're doing right now?
No, we will put that in Wednesday evening.
Okay, I thought maybe you were ducking out of work to do this.
No, I love it's hard work, but it's also one of those things that you take pride in because it's a challenge. So the first year they moved because it's for the Heritage and Century Farm Awards with the Iowa Department of Ag. So they moved it to the pavilion. So knowing a lot of strollers, wheelchairs come in there, they need a solid surface. The first year, the fair board, I think, tried putting it in, and Jen's like, it took them 3 hours. So I'm like, okay, well, I'll give you some kids. And we were just under 2. So it kind of just becomes a challenge of how fast can we put this in.
All right. So how fast can you put it in? What's the record?
We're about 90 minutes right now.
With how many? 20, 30?
We usually send about half our staff, so this year will be a little bit short of 40.
Okay, so 40 in 90 minutes, you can do that.
Yep.
I also saw some yellow shirts that said Usher on the back at the sheep shearing competition.
Yeah, that's one of the, I don't know how long we've been doing that. And I don't know, to me, I'm not a sheep person. But those kids that do it love doing it. They're like, oh, my God, that was so much fun. So they're behind the gates of that sheep shearing contest holding sheep, catching sheep, so the judges can come through and evaluate the shears they set up for that event.
Because that event is on time and on quality of work, right?
I believe so, yeah.
I don't either. I was watching it, and I just happened to see him knowing I was going to talk to you. I was like, oh, I'm going to ask you about that.
Yep.
You mentioned the gate. You mentioned all these other projects. Mm-hmm. Do the ushers know what they're getting into when they sign up, that they're not just getting a seat, a ticket for a concert?
The good news is I have about 100 of them promoting the program. So applications are always good, and sometimes it's extremely hard to choose. And that's the other thing. Like, how do I tell a kid who's been here for 4 years, well, I'm going to bring you back, but I'm going to deny a first year. So that's another thing that goes into the whole selection process.
It's not easy.
No.
To pick, I would imagine, when you have these quality, because you have some in college, right?
Yep.
It's not just a high school program.
Right. Yeah. So most of my group leaders are usually going into their senior year, freshman year of college, and we work with them, knowing that they have some duties with that. So like, we give our college kids a day to go leave the fair and move in, but otherwise those kids are on the grounds from the time they check in on Wednesday until the final fireworks show on the final Sunday, and they're here. So some of them don't understand that. Some of them, like, it is a lot of standing, so we suggest different things, wear different shoes, you know, move your feet, don't lock your knees, drink a lot of water. So some of them, even though there are some drawbacks to it, I think a lot of them are like, oh, it's totally worth it. And the kids do get a little stipend at the end of fair, but they're like, we're not in it for the money. We're in it for the experience.
And they get to be behind the gates of so many things. Well, like, we'll go back to sheep shearing. They were on the stage where they were shearing. They're at the gates getting to see all these people come in. They're wherever else, mm-hmm. that, you know, behind rope, just like what security and ushers normally get to do.
Yep.
So in the concert venue themselves, I remember seeing the FFA ushers because I had a friend that was one, mm-hmm. and I remember seeing her in here in her college years. What exactly do you do in the grandstand?
In the grandstand, our job is really just to help guests find their seats. So the grandstand is a little bit confusing. We have sections that have the double letters. We have the sections down here that are a letter and a number. So having them understand, or just be that person that understands the how the seating works here. If, you know, Sarah comes in and Sarah bought her tickets, but now she had surgery on her knee and she can't get to her seat, what do we do? So our relationship has really developed. So they don't just know where they're going, but they also, we've developed this really good relationship with security that we know who we need to go to when we have issues, kind of thing.
So, yes, this is and it's a venue that changes almost. For a while, it was changing every year. It seems to be a little more stable now since the renovation. Has that made it a little easier since the renovation?
No.
No?
Well, okay, so before we added the front apron and the pit section, we were just basically in the main grandstand, and we had one stage section. So the number of sections was smaller, and my groups were a little tighter. So we've had to grow with the grandstand. This is actually probably our smallest year. So my group this year, with budget cuts, would have been well-staffed in the old grandstand. That here we're stretched a little bit. We're making it work, and the kids are stepping up to fulfill their duties. So it's good to see them. And that's, I think, the biggest thing that I love about this program is that as a teacher, you wait 4 years to see kids grow, right? Or it's fun to see them from their freshman year to their senior year, that I get to see it in 12 days. So when they come in and their mom's checking in for them to come to that final Sunday, when they aren't scared to talk to anyone in the grandstand, and they're way out of their bubble, that is probably one of my favorite things.
You clearly were called to be a teacher because of what you just said. Knowing teachers, yes, that is exactly. They love to see that progression. Mm-hmm. You talked about the fraternity sorority of people that you met in Usher that from your time. Mm-hmm. You know, that has there ever been like a large reunion of these? Have you ever thought about trying to do something?
So our current ushers, they try to meet up at National FFA Convention. So, hey, we're going to meet at this time. So if it works out in their schedule, they'll do that. Mm-hmm. We have a lot of ushers that will come back to the dorm. Our usher headquarters, I guess if you want to call it, is the Hillcrest Dormitory, where no one knows is at.
I didn't know it. I've been coming here for years. I did finally see it yesterday.
The brick building behind the trees up the hill that no one wants to go up. So we'll see a lot of them. And if you go up there, one of the usher traditions is to carve your name in the tables. And so what I did when I came back as a supervisor is the tables that I carved my name in were down in the basement, and they're busted. And so I'm like, we're going to recycle these and make them into something, because you can't throw those carvings away. So my students at the time, we took the tabletops off, cut them in half, and made them the backs of benches, and made new benches for Hillcrest. So there's a lot of traditions, and a lot of times you'll see the random person come up to Hillcrest and be like, oh, I was an usher in 92. And they'll
easy
look
now.
Around.
92, you're getting into my era of ushers there. Do you know of several generations of ushers? I mean, 70 years is a chance you could have somebody that's three or fourth generation.
Yes.
What's the biggest one you know of?
I don't know.
You know at least of two generations.
Yeah.
Do you know of any threes?
Well, I have a lot of siblings
Come
through the program. So I have a girl right now. She is the fourth sibling that I've had.
I'd make you pick one of them, but you can't pick children on which one's the best. But clearly the one who you have now is the best, right?
Yeah.
Yeah,
oh, yeah.
Of course. What's your favorite part about being in the grandstand? Is it this time of day when there's nobody in here? Is it when you... Because you're not always allowed in during sound check.
Yep.
Is it the pre-concert excitement? Is it the middle of the concert, the finale, the fireworks? Which one's your favorite? What time?
Gates open.
The new excitement part of it?
Yeah. So anytime it is pit, so there's no chairs down front, the people running in, it's fun to see, but then you also get the people that are like, we've never been here before, where do we go? And that's the time that, because we encourage the kids to be proactive rather than reactive, because there's times that you'll see up here, they'll just get in the wrong row, and then it's a domino effect of a problem that you have to deal with, and then you move people. And they take care of it. It's just if we could help and talk to every grandstand guest, we could eliminate that. So.
Well, how about this? You can give a message to anybody who's coming to a concert at the grandstand in this format. What would you tell them?
Talk to the yellow shirts. They do know what they're talking about. I've been here so much that if you ask me where to find a specific beer, I can tell you. And so some of them have really picked up. They're kind of nerdy on that. Like, I know where you can find this type of beer. If you need the elevators, I could tell you which of the bathrooms has the shortest line. Yeah, talk to the ushers.
We're not going to give it away now. You have to come and ask a yellow shirt for that secret pass, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Best concert you've seen in here?
I'm going to go back to 2003. So 2003 was my first fair. I think it was my first concert that I saw. It wasn't the first concert of the fair, but Goo Goo Dolls always stood out. And it was kind of funny because it was either that year or I think 2004 when I actually did an interview with a couple Des Moines Register guys when they did the evaluation of the grandstand lineups. And it was funny because the fair that we had Kid Rock and Nickelback back to back, or it was like a Wednesday, Saturday, and then to see it again in the same lineup, where Kid Rock was a really cool concert in 2004 or 5 or whatever it was, and Nickelback was a disaster. And then turn around and the next time they come in, Nickelback was a very calm concert, and Kid Rock, the year he ran for president, was
less than ideal?
Less than ideal.
It's amazing, and I would imagine, yeah, you've probably seen a couple of people that maybe were openers 1 year, 5 years later they're the headliner, and it's standing room only.
Oh, yeah. Jeff Bates was here. So when I was an usher, Jeff Bates opened for someone. He was probably one of the only acts that opened in the grandstand and then ended up on a free stage. The Wellmark Blue Cross Blue Shield stage that no longer exists.
That's right. It's gone. It's almost where the slide is now. It's kind of in that ballpark.
Yep. So I actually got to meet him on one of our off nights. So, like, those sorts of things stand up out to me. Or it's not even here in the grandstand, but laying the pavilion floor 1 year, Mike Nagg, who's now our Secretary of Agriculture, he was there laying the floor with kids when he was a deputy secretary. So, like, there's that connection that you may not get to meet the acts up here, whereas our free stage attendants are a lot more stagehand driven, where we're front of house customer service.
is that a sales job of sorts to say you're going to be assigned to the Susan Knapp stage? Mm-hmm. And they're like, oh, I wanted to be in the grandstand. But the people that they might have more access to is considered one of the perks of being there.
Oh, yeah. And, I mean, you see kids break out of their shell here, but, like, this free stage attendant, so we have about 25 free stage attendants. Also, FFA members go through the same application process. Yeah, there's definitely perks to them. Like, Bill Riley, you're meeting Bill Riley. Mm-hmm. I heard that he hands every kid at the end of fair a $50 bill for being on his stage, just providing that outstanding work. Knapp, you get the bigger acts that you may or may not see, depending on who they are. But it's definitely, you learn some of the tech behind the stage, setting things up, tearing things down, loading things out, that is really just kind of cool.
Learning how corndog conversations takes place on a golf cart on a Sunday morning. When you look out onto the stage, and so is this, to me is always, I mean, when you talk about the tech behind the scenes, I'm always intrigued about how they set that up.
Oh, yeah.
And how early they get here or how late they get here. And you always have stories of, well, such and such act was 20 minutes from going up curtain, or was here 6 hours and we have no idea where they're at now. I mean, those are the little fun stories I'm imagining you can all share.
Yep. Well, like the free stages, you're running through how many different acts in a day, that some of them need a lot of help and some of them don't need much help. But yeah, there's certain acts that will show up to the fair early to walk around the fair, and you'll see them post things on social, and then be in the grandstand here at night. So I got asked Friday night, is Gwen here? And it kind of took me a minute just because, like, I've done this so many times. So if you ask me what my favorite concert is at the end of this fair, I'm going to tell you I don't really remember them. Yeah. They just kind of all run together. But, yeah, it took me a minute to realize who they were asking about. And I'm like, I have no idea. I can't, like, there's and things it, that I don't know that happened up it, on that stage.
It turns out Gwen Stefani was here.
She was here.
Married to Blake Shelton, and she did show up. I saw a tweet from somebody while I was at home, and I'm like, oh, yeah, that's right. That's a thing now. So that could happen. So you never know the surprises.
Yep.
But you might sometimes know what's a surprise.
Yep. Yeah.
You get a little briefing there, too.
I mean, it's nice to warn the kids if an actor, if a group is coming off stage. We don't see it much with the new stage because it is taller than what the old stage was. But like Keith Urban, I think it was 2011, so my or 2010, when my first year as supervisor, Keith Urban made it all the way up to like MN. I don't think we knew he was coming that high, like he was going that far up into the grandstand, but yeah, just to be aware of some of those situations. And they don't tell us super far in advance because they're high schoolers. They're going to open their mouth. But we're aware of certain things that, hey, just so you know. Yeah. We've seen a lot of proposals here. So like Maroon 5 and their Marry Me song proposal that night. Our kids have been asked, okay, where's the best place to drop on one knee? And so, you know, right behind or right in front of that C89 section.
Okay, yes. So if you're going to propose, go to the area in front of C8 and C9.
So kind of right behind, Okay. Straight out from the stage, behind the sound bar.
Are you supposed to put the stage behind you or the grandstand behind you?
I think when they did it, it was parallel to the stage. So
everybody got a good view.
Yeah.
Okay, lastly, you going to miss this if this truly is your last year?
Yeah.
Why?
I love this program. this is
what don't get emotional. The fair.
Oh, it was day one, and I'm like, this is supposed to be my last year, and I'm like, I've seen this grandstand grow so much. I've seen so many kids come through the program that it's one of those things that I don't know how to fare otherwise. I come in on Tuesday. I know what I have to get through. I know that my group leaders are coming in. I have folders of 11 years of rosters. So I know everyone who's come through. I know if they've left for certain reasons. I joke with the kids. I'm like, I have dreams about this place. Like, okay, how do I do this? Or what happens? But at the same time, like, there's certain things that I definitely want to... I've always wanted to be a redshirt volunteer. So there's things. Restaurants for me to come back as grandstand security. Like,
sure.
I know the place like the back of my hand, and I picture it in my head. So I don't really have to be down here to figure out like what I'm doing.
Coming as a civilian is tougher than being someone that has access to everywhere.
Yeah.
You'll find that out.
Yeah, there are some perks to being a superintendent.
Well, thank you for your time and the backstory, a little bit about the ushers and just everything that goes on at the fair. Say hello to a yellow shirt. You're probably going to get a pretty good story.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
All right. Thank you so much.
Not a problem. Thank you.
That will do it for this installment of the MTOM Show podcast. My thanks to Jen Lichty for giving us a behind the scenes of this. So if you have any ideas for me, hit me up at an email at paul.yeager@iowapbs.org. This is a production of the Market to Market TV show and Iowa PBS. Thanks for watching, listening. Maybe you read this too. We'll see you next time.
Moody's Analytics will host its second annual Ag Day virtual conference dedicated to the discussion of agriculture. Ag lending professionals come together for 2 days of peer sharing, best practice concepts, and critical insight into agriculture's road ahead. Learn more at moodysanalytics.com/Moody's Ag Day 2021.